Hello and welcome to the Becoming Podcast. I'm so glad you're here. I'm your host, Anne Fancy. This podcast was born out of the intent to continue conversations off the yoga mat and into the world because so much of what we do in life is challenging and creates a whole lot of discomfort, and so much of it is asking us to elevate, to rise up. And I wanted to find space to continue these conversations that we can all be a part of in our own process of unraveling who the world has told us to be and becoming a more true and honest version of ourselves. And even more so in simply acknowledging what it feels like to continue to wake up, to be more wakeful in this beautiful experience we call life. Perhaps even this brutal experience we call life. I'm so grateful for you being here. If you're enjoying this podcast, please share it widely. Please rate and review us and subscribe. Hello. Today's episode is with my friend, Terry Williams. And Terry is an interesting human who identifies probably most specifically as a shaman, but she does a lot of really incredible work around soul retrieval, energy work, really what I would call like souped up Reiki. But even more than that, she is somebody who is working diligently to create community of spiritual beings who are coming together for drum circles and energy healings and learning opportunities. So you definitely want to check her out. Her website is soulpractices.com, and you can see all of the different things that she's got going on. She also is a podcast host. She interviewed me on her podcast, which is called Soulful Living, and you can check out that on her website as well. Terry has a fascinating journey of becoming sober and some random visitation by an energy worker, which is really where her shift began or took a more dramatic turn. So I think you're really going to enjoy this conversation. We go all over the place, and I can't wait to hear what you have to say about it. As always, lots of different ways to connect with me. You can follow me on Facebook or Instagram. I do have a Becoming page on Facebook. If you want to hang out with me, I will be teaching at a couple events this summer. I'm teaching at the Yoga Fest at Song of the Morning, which is in Northern Michigan, and that's the last weekend in July. I'll be teaching on August 17th at Barefoot and Free, and you can use promo code capital letters AND to get a discount and come see me on that Saturday for a chakra and yoga class. And of course, I've got just a few spots left for my fall retreat in Northern Michigan with expansive, gorgeous views of Lake Michigan. You can also check in with that, annfancy.com/retreat. There are a few spots left, and we're going to be doing all kinds of great stuff: yoga, rituals for the moon, hanging out, wine and food pairing, just lots of really great stuff. So I would love to see you there. And if you have questions, please just check in with me, and I'd be happy to see if you can make it work. As always, please share, subscribe, and I'd love to hear from you. Let me know what you're thinking, what's touched you, what kind of interviews have you found to be the most inspiring, so that I can continue to create content that you connect with. Thanks again for listening, and let's get going on this conversation. All right. Hello. Welcome. I'm here with my friend, Terry Williams. And I was just saying off mic, what do you call yourself? Let's start there. Hi, Terry.
Well, hi, Anne. Thank you so much for having me here. We had this conversation before where I said how much I absolutely love the name Anne Fancy. Who wouldn't want to walk around with that kind of joy, right?
Right.
So thank you.
Thank you
for having me here. What do I call myself? Well, somebody asked me one day, what do I do for a living? And I said, I live. So that's what I'm doing. I'm living. How do I show up in this reality?
Yes.
Well, it depends if I'm in this reality or that reality.
Okay.
The bulk of what I do in my life is the foundation for what I do in my life is shamanic energy work. I've been meditating and practicing energy work since 1992. 1991. Since 1991 was when I was first introduced to it. And then it became an obsession for me, everything, like, I couldn't learn enough. Mm-hmm. That obsession is still here today. Like, yeah. I'm like you, I'm a junkie. I want to learn everything.
Yeah.
I have to really halt myself and say, I cannot go down that rabbit hole right now.
Right,
I have to stay here.
I'm like, I'm already like, oh, wait, no, but I like to go down the rabbit hole. So, but yes, I understand.
Right.
Like,
right now.
Right now, yes.
Right.
Yes, it is difficult many times to, like, narrow the focus to accomplish anything.
Right. Absolutely.
Right. Okay.
I was reading something the other day. I don't remember how I even stumbled upon it, probably traveling down that rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Really about just staying focused in the present moment and allowing yourself a bit of time daily, whatever that looks like for you. Mm-hmm. I'm fanatical about setting my timer.
Yeah.
Because I travel down the rabbit hole a lot.
Yeah.
In this reality and the other reality. Mm-hmm. And so she just basically said, give yourself some time every day to go down the rabbit hole, but check yourself for that time. So that's me. Like, I check myself. Mm-hmm. I've been using a timer for a long time.
Yeah.
So
I'm not disciplined enough for a timer, but I like that in theory, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So interesting. Okay. So let's backtrack a little bit. So what happened in 1992? Cause I know this is an interesting place to start, that shifted you from where you were and the reality you were living in then to the reality you are now, that you unraveled, I guess, for yourself.
Well, to make a long story short, my son was injured in an accident. He was two, and my first ex-husband.
Yes.
Because I'm on my third husband, right? Same. I'm not shy about anything.
No judgment.
But we've been together 17 years, thank God.
Yeah.
Anyway, told the babysitter that they could play on the motorcycle.
Oh.
And the motorcycle toppled over on top of my son.
My gosh.
He had a compound fracture. Basically, his left arm was severed, and they said he would never regain full mobility. My put the motorcycle to the curb before the ex-husband.
Yeah.
sorry about that.
Yeah.
No, I'm not. anyway, and this man showed up at my house. He said he came to buy the motorcycle.
Yeah.
And then he said, no, my name is so-and-so. I'm on the board of directors for Focus Hope. I just returned from India studying with a guru and in energy work, and I was called to be here. He said, I don't even ride a motorcycle.
Right.
And, I mean, I was young and naive. He kind of explained what he was going to do. I said, okay. Fast forward 6 weeks or so later, they took the pins out of my son. And he was, 2 weeks after that, was hanging from a bar in the doctor's office, who was the chief of staff of orthopedic surgery at Providence Hospital.
Yeah.
And the doctor came in. I can see his face so clearly. He dropped his jaw and he said, I don't use this word very often, but this is almost miraculous. He said he's got 95% mobility. He doesn't even need physical therapy.
Right. And they had told you before that he was going to be lucky if he got like something like 20% back.
Oh, 60. Oh, you know, 60. Like 60, right?
Okay.
So to me.
Yeah, that's a huge.
It was huge. And I've always had a really good left brain, right brain balance.
Yeah.
I was at that point managing a company, and slowly but surely, I just kind of began focusing more on the ethereal.
Yeah,
because it made sense. You know, I know that it was a combination of Western medicine and Eastern teachings, Eastern energy practices.
I mean, listen,
whatever you want to call it.
Some dude shows up on your doorstep.
Yeah.
And says, I've been sent here to heal your son. Is somebody needing healing here, right?
Right.
And you can't deny, to me, like, I mean, you can deny. You can do whatever you want. You can say whatever you want. We both know plenty of skeptics. We were probably both raised by them. And I get that. But when your son goes from 60%, which is just about half function in an elbow joint or an arm joint, like, that is not very good, to 95% in 6 weeks. Like, I just think.
Yeah, you know, and fast forward
and this is,
20-some
this
years.
Is pre-Google. This is
pre-Google.
This is pre-cell phone.
Right.
This is like, he just showed up.
Showed up. And, you know, I'm sure he's, maybe, who knows? I'm not even going to guess. I'm just thankful that he was there because that was my motivation. And
I just think you can't brush over that story lately. I think that's like such a like a like it, wake it is up huge. A huge like invitation to wake the F up.
It is huge. Yeah. And that's what I did.
Where were you before that? What was life like before that?
Managed a company, okay. You know, married to somebody that had his own company. Mm-hmm.
What kind of company? Like 9-to-5 job? Corporate mine? America? Yeah.
Kind of corporate America in a crazy sort of way.
Okay.
I worked with a lot of misogynists. And at that point, I was working for a very religious family that was Jewish. So there was a lot of that. And
so it's not like you were. Yeah, it's not like you were working at a candle factory, right? God, or something no. energetic. You were in a totally different life.
I was in Earth reality.
Yeah.
I was as far removed from that reality, except for my own experiences. But I never had anybody to talk about it. You know, yeah. When I was 21, my best friend was killed in a motorcycle accident. Mm. A motorcycle that I would have been on. I would have been on the bike that killed him. And when they came to pick me up, something dropped in front of me like a brick wall and yeah. said, "You're not going."
Yeah.
And I didn't. Chills. And when the phone rang at 6:30 in the morning, because his mom and my mom were also best friends, I knew that
something terrible
he was
happened.
Gone.
Yeah.
You know, so I had these little experiences my whole life.
Yeah.
Even with meditation and shamanic journeying, you know, nature was, I was always gone. I don't know about when you grew up, but when I grew up, mm-hmm. the, you know, sunlight came up, you were out the door. Yep. The street lights came on, you came home.
Yep.
Maybe you came home for dinner. Everybody in the neighborhood knew what was going on with
yep.
everybody.
Yep.
We couldn't get away with anything,
yep.
right?
Yep.
So nature was like my best friend.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of turmoil and dysfunction in my family, so I maybe didn't even want to go home half the time.
Sure. So what was that like for you? What was your upbringing like? You said Catholic. Let's talk about that. I think it's interesting to see, like, how we get to where we are and what kind of, like, programming and experiences you had to overcome in order to step into this work, because that's really the thing, right? So many of us are so deeply programmed, and there's so much oppression and information from the outside world, and the voices are so loud that people aren't necessarily courageous enough to step away from the known to the unknown. Mm-hmm. And so what was the known for your upbringing? So Catholicism,
big Catholic family, yeah. a lot of drinking and partying, and everybody got together on,
yeah.
you know, Friday and Saturday nights and played cards at our house and then church on Sunday. Until I got a little bit older, when my mom really got disappointed and lost her faith in the Catholic Church. Mm. So at least I didn't have the strict religious upbringing that my brothers and sisters did, but I saw that, mm-hmm. right? I witnessed to what they had.
Mm-hmm.
And I still really couldn't talk about it because everybody thought I was crazy. I'm the youngest of six. They still think I'm flipping crazy.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure right? it's mostly the same. Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, they think I'm crazy. So mm-hmm. that's what it was like. And it was very middle class neighborhood. Even my friends back then always thought I was crazy. I don't, you know.
What, in what ways? Like, what were you, how did you feel and present yourself differently? And how did you see the world? Or how, why?
Why? Because I would go into nature. I would journey. I would meditate. I would talk about things. I would say things. And people would say, "Oh, Terry's just dreaming. Oh, Terry's just
like
making."
Don't
pay attention. Uh-huh. Don't pay attention to Terry. Even though I had a photographic memory as well, like I could see numbers and people. I would relate them immediately. Mm-hmm. Like somebody called one time and left a message for my dad. I think it was like 5 or 6, and they came home and I said, "So and so called and this is his number," and they're like, "Oh, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
How does she doesn't know that? That's not the number." Well, then my dad goes to work the next day and lo and behold, so and so says, "Oh yeah, I left her my number." You know? So
yep.
even though there was this validation of that left brain, right brain.
Or that you had a connection to some
something
other
different
way of being.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like I didn't have anybody to talk to about it.
Sure.
There wasn't the internet.
Yeah.
And then the internet came. Mm-hmm. And, like, fast forward, and I could learn so much. Plus, there was more access even locally. Like, when my kids got a little bit older, there was more access locally for instruction and connection with like-minded people.
Right. There were other weird people in the world
there
like you.
There were other weird people. The biggest... The most significant change that came for me was in 2001, two things happened. I had a house fire, and we lost everything, almost died. I mean, the fire marshal was like, I can't even believe you're alive. You know, 99% of all people die in this type of fire. So I got out of my relationship with husband number two.
After the fire?
After the fire.
Uh-huh.
And during that time, was managing a company, and my boss was overseas. Okay. And he was one of the top five people that Microsoft used to beta test their software. And he and I would test each other. He was very open to psychic experiences. Yeah. In fact, my interview with him, I'm not going to get into whole that story, but it was crazy.
Yeah.
It was like just a spur of the moment thing that I even met him. And one of the first questions that he asked me was, Teddy, what sign are you?
Really?
And I'm like, what do you mean? Because I was so shocked that somebody of this caliber was asking me what sign. I'm like, what sign? He goes, yes, what is your zodiac? And from that point on, we really had this deep connection. However, we would test each other. He was in Europe, and I was here, and we would video test each other. It was right when, like, this Microsoft Net came out.
Mm-hmm.
And he would write down something, and I would write down something, and then I would say what he wrote down, and he would show me,
mm-hmm.
and then vice versa.
Okay.
And it was 100% accurate.
Wow.
And we were both like,
holy crap.
I'm like, okay, so you're this brilliant genius. Do you have cameras in my house? I mean, what's happening here?
Right.
That was really the most...
So that was 2001.
2001. That was the most significant for me to say, okay, I am that. I got that.
I have access to this information.
I have this.
Yeah.
You know, and it is available for everyone, right?
Right.
It's not just me.
Right.
It's not just me.
Right.
Because... who would think that this brilliant guy in Europe, you know, could show me a flashcard and I knew what it was without him, you know, so.
And he knew yours. Okay, so let's back up a little. You said when you were young, because I want to come back to this, I'm writing it down. When you were young, you said you journeyed. What did that, do you mean like what most of us would call like daydreaming as a kid, but you knew you were leaving your earthly reality in some way? What did that feel like or look like for you? Because I think there's more of us, right? Like, I have experiences that I remember leaving my body too. And I didn't realize that until I got much further down the road and in retrospect, like, oh, that's what I was doing.
Right.
So what did that look and feel like for you? So maybe other people can see themselves in that.
So to me, first of all, it's a shamanic journey. And mm-hmm. to me, a shamanic journey is like an intentional daydream connecting with the spirit realm. That's mm-hmm. the easiest, simplest way to say it. And I was a tomboy. I would climb the trees mm-hmm. and I would go there and I would totally get lost in what I now know as the spirit realm.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that then.
Yeah.
I didn't know that until after second husband,
mm-hmm.
Going to therapy and somebody mentioned,
mm-hmm.
oh, what you're talking about is shamanic. And mm-hmm. there wasn't even the access on the internet yet to all of that stuff.
Right. Like, how does one even know what shamanic means,
if
right?
it's not the lingo of your family?
Yeah.
You know, mine was go to church and, you know, say five Hail Marys, whatever.
Right.
It wasn't, oh, you can really find some answers in a different way. I was finding those answers on my own, but I didn't have anybody
to talk to,
about mm-hmm. it.
Yeah.
Nobody.
Yeah.
Interesting story that I'm just going to shift, but...
Yeah.
I had gone to a spiritual retreat somewhere around 1999,
mm-hmm.
and the head of this retreat was also a psychic and a minister.
Mm-hmm.
I had an aunt that was a nun.
Yeah.
She died. He had no idea. So he's a psychic. They do this sermon, and part of the sermon was you either did a past life regression, you got a psychic reading, or you got an energy healing.
Oh,
isn't that the coolest?
Yeah.
Kind of like, that's the kind of church I loved going to.
Yeah.
So far out there and accepting.
Or is it?
Is it?
Right? Because there's so much mysticism in the roots of most of the religions we know, right? Kabbalah for Judaism, and then there's like Christian mystics all over. And even, you know, I got sat down next to some woman at Vincetta Garage, and she's reading the tea leaves or whatever in the bottom of the cup, or the coffee grounds,
oh, yeah,
on a picture that her daughter had sent from her home country, right?
Isn't it amazing?
Meanwhile, big crosses, talking about a traditional wedding and all of this. I, of course, didn't give up all of my beliefs to her. But, right, this mysticism is all over.
Right.
It just got squashed.
Absolutely.
So fascinating that you ended up at this sort of, like...
retreat like that.
Yeah, that, like, married the worlds. You were kind of bridging one gap to the next. Okay, keep telling us.
Well, so this... and, yes, when you think about it, I mean, okay, you're the oil lady, right?
Right.
You're the queen of essential oils.
Right.
What is what they use in Catholicism? Frankincense, right?
That's right.
Let's just spread some frankincense here.
Yeah.
I digress, but I'm going to share another story about that in a second.
No, yeah. Keep going.
So I'm at this retreat, mm-hmm, and the minister stands in front of me, and he says, "Oh my gosh, there's a woman dressed in black, mm-hmm, all black, carrying a rose." Mm-hmm. And my aunt's name was Sister Rose Elizabeth.
Mm.
And he said, "Does that make sense to you?" And I'm like, "Oh yeah, that's my aunt. You know, mm-hmm, she's a nun and she passed on." And he said, "Well, she has her hands on her hips and she wants you to know that now she's on the other side, mm-hmm, you're not crazy."
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, "Yes, no, I am not crazy. Bring that shit on," right? We are not crazy.
Can I share? Okay,
yes.
So I went to somebody recently, Rachel, who I interviewed here, and the first person to come through is my father's mother, Grandma Betty. Now, Grandma Betty was
that's what we called my aunt, by the way, Aunt Betty.
She was Elizabeth. Mm-hmm. Anyway, right, exactly. Okay, so I have chills again. But, okay, so Grandma Betty, Elizabeth, came through. Now, she said, I feel like she was really connected to education and the church, like, you know, Catholicism. I'm like, yep, that was her life theme. Now, Betty, in many ways, was a total badass because she had vision and she, there's like a plaque for her in her hometown because she stood for social justice in the sense that she wanted affordable housing as she saw that Natick was turning into more expensive homes. And so she's recognized for her contribution, mm-hmm, in that way, right? But she also got pissed off at the church, the Catholic church she went to, and started her own Catholic church in her home, studied theology after her husband died, like all of these crazy things, but was very deeply steeped in Catholicism. Mm. So she comes through, Rachel, and says, "I'm really sorry for any negative, ripple effect that my Catholic beliefs had on you and that you had to move through in accepting yourself, right? And that, mm-hmm, when as soon as I got to the other side, I realized how wrong I was."
Yeah.
And you, basically, you were right. You're on the right, you're
keep
on the
going,
right track,
girl.
Right?
Keep
going, right.
Keep going,
and I'm really sorry for what the Catholicism did for you, your sister, your family, and any negative,
influence.
Yeah, that it had, that you had to like work through.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how fascinating is both of our Catholic Betties came through to be, mm-hmm, like, "I'm real sorry."
Right. Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's so, I mean, that parallel is crazy to me. Okay. That's amazing.
And so now, like, I'm totally shifting here, but what I'm hearing is, here's you and I with, mm-hmm, children and this whole new outlook on life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they say, in a lot of the teachings, they'll say, well, you can heal seven generations back and seven
forward.
Mm-hmm. Bump that. Yeah. I want to heal every generation, right?
Right.
So that's how I feel here.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have a 2-year-old grandson who I watch all the time.
Right.
And there's some turmoil around them. And every time he is with me, God hope my daughter-in-law doesn't listen to this, right? But every time he's with me,
mm-hmm,
that's what I'm working on.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, we are healing. We're healing.
Yep.
We're going to heal everything that came with you and everything that you're taking forward.
Yep.
I don't want to stop at seven generations, you know? So you're like probably third generation from your aunt, right?
Yeah.
Which
grandma.
Is about,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
From your grandma, which is about what I was with my aunt, third generation.
Yeah.
So that's three. Well, guess what? We're going all the way, sister.
Yep.
I am not stopping. I don't want to just go seven generations.
Right.
I've done my ancestral history.
Mm-hmm.
I've gone back to 1100.
Yeah.
So I want to heal from that point because I know that they suffered a lot.
Yeah.
Needlessly.
Yeah.
And so that's where I'm at. So
love that. So what does that look like for you? What does that healing work look like? And like, what is your life look like as a shamanic energy worker? What do you do for people? How does that help people? What tell us some about that and some profound, the most profound experiences.
Well, before I do that, I want to share another ancestral story that has to do with shamanic work, okay. Right? So, and it's kind of an answer to both questions. Cool. So in the shamanic work, I work in the spirit realm. I work in a different reality. Mm-hmm. Okay. I have an earth business as well.
Right.
You know, that I do multimedia.
Yep.
I do a podcast.
Yep.
Right? I have an earth business. But in that reality, I believe that everything starts with an intention. Mm-hmm. So if I set the intention to connect in a specific way or connect with something or heal,
yeah.
And mind you, I'm not healing.
Right.
For me, I'm maybe a conduit or activating your capability to heal yourself.
Right.
That's what I'm requesting there. If I work with a guide and I can't be where I want to be, then I'm going to ask my helpers, hey, Anne is really suffering. Can you get over there and work with her?
Yeah.
I believe that we have access to all of that, mm-hmm. right? So,
is that what they call 5D reality, or is that, that's the different realm?
I think it's both.
Yeah.
Right?
And yeah. Who knows?
Who knows?
We're like, right? We're putting human terms on things that have no,
who really knows?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Am I really living a different life and this conversation isn't even happening?
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But I like being in that other realm. Sometimes a lot more than I like being here.
So you go to that other realm.
Yes. Go to the other realm and connect with spirit helpers. And what are they? Sometimes they're animals. Sometimes they're ascended masters. Sometimes they're angelic beings. Sometimes they're family members, yeah. unbeknownst to me, right?
Yeah.
So like, I went into a journey a couple years ago, and this woman comes to me, and she says, I am your aunt, your great-grandmother, and you need to go find your ancestry. And I'm like, well, I already know the ancestry. Mm-hmm. That's not, mm-hmm. I don't need to do that. And she goes, child, listen to me. You need to do your ancestry. You do not know what I'm talking about. And I'm like, okay, done. So long story short, I get the ancestry. I find out that, you know, all of these different connections that were made, and this woman reaches out to me and she says, I'm your great-great-grandmother's, you know, we're related.
Yeah.
And I said, no, we're not, because actually our grandmothers were sisters. Mm-hmm. I just did all the research on it, and this is who my great-grandmother was. But this woman shares with me, like, where our family came from, you know, like this island in Ireland that is no longer habitable, but they still do tours, and you know, how the family mm-hmm. migrated down. Well, then I had this, and part of our heritage was the Brennans, and I have this little boy that, seriously, in real reality,
yeah.
I was a nanny for 10 years for one of my neighbors, mm-hmm. whose last name is there's Brennans in her family, mm-hmm. and so I reach out to her, and I'm laughing, and I'm like, oh my God. And I didn't connect the Brennan part yet.
Yeah.
And I said, oh my God, I just got my, you know, did the ancestry, and one of my cousins reached out to me, and this is where we came from. And then we migrated down here. And she goes, oh my God. She goes, what if we're related?
Yeah.
After all this time, she's like, you were the saint that took care of my child.
Right.
And what if you were sent here from our grandparents? Aww. And I'm like, oh my God. Right?
Right.
Like, so you get so much
yeah.
in that reality,
mm-hmm.
and you can connect with your ancestors in ways beyond your wildest imagination.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
So do you see it? Is it visual for you?
It's all of it. It's sometimes I see it, sometimes I just sense it, sometimes I smell it, mm-hmm. And I don't, I'm not necessarily in a journey when these things happen. The other day, something came along, and I'm like, oh, Auntie Marion's yeah. here, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
Things like that. Like, my Auntie Marion, she loved black licorice.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, here's this scent of black licorice. And mm-hmm. so then I stop and, you know, have this conversation with her.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
How did it get, I mean, you don't start, like, you're not going from 1992, The Healer Comes, to, like, immediately having all of these experiences. So how did you grow your own personal connection to that ability to shift into those realms and to trust what you're feeling, hearing, sensing, all of that? Like, what did that look like? Because I feel like people can connect with, yeah, I've got some things that I know, or I have these experiences, but I don't know how to get from that space to the space that you are now able to connect with. Because if everybody has it, that means everybody can grow their connection to it, right?
And they can. Yeah. I believe 100% that everybody can do that. For me, the first thing that I did was get clean and sober, mm-hmm. because I used to drink a lot. And I knew, number one, I knew I had to be sober for my kids.
Yeah.
I stopped drinking. I went to a Super Bowl party. I couldn't remember how I got home. Yeah. And when I got up that day, I'm like, oh no.
I'm done.
I'm getting a divorce from an alcoholic.
Yeah.
I'm not going to leave my kids.
Right.
For the same purpose.
Right.
So I got clean and sober, and I had been introduced to meditation mm-hmm. because of that initial mm-hmm. impact, yeah. right? Mm-hmm. So I became introduced to meditation, and the first guided meditation that I ever did mm-hmm. was a chakra meditation. It was called the Rainbow Chakra Meditation.
Yep.
And I did that every day. Mm-hmm. And as I began to, I believe, clear my own energy body,
yeah.
physically, emotionally, and spiritually, and I went to therapy.
Right.
Okay? I went to therapy.
Right. Earth, spiritual.
Earth, spiritual.
We're here to do both.
It's a combination.
Yes.
We can't just, I said, I love playing in that reality. Yeah. I love that reality.
Yeah.
That's not realistic.
Right.
It's not realistic to be there all the time.
Right. Right.
So it was this whole combination of learning, and I started Reiki, you know, learning Reiki and stepping into that mystical realm. Like, I went to that church that mm-hmm. you got a psychic reading, you got a energy healing or a past life regression. Mm-hmm. And I remember this, I wasn't really into the psychic piece of it. Mm-hmm. I've really never been into the psychic piece of things. I know a lot of psychics.
Yeah.
I've never really sought out a psychic and said, can I pay you mm-hmm. to tell me what it is?
Mm-hmm. What does that hang up for you? Or what is it that you don't like? I mean, there's a lot, there's a big, and most people I know that are the most legit able to connect don't even like the word calling themselves psychic.
Exactly.
Right.
That was a big piece of it.
Yeah.
I didn't like the word psychic.
What's that about for you, though?
For me, I believe it's turning my power over to somebody else.
Got it.
I have that connection mm-hmm. within myself.
Right.
And I have seen mm-hmm. where people have been given information
yeah.
that has stopped them and had a negative effect where sure. they've relied so solely on the information that person was receiving mm-hmm. that they didn't allow for
their own knowledge
and free will.
Yeah.
And their own knowledge mm-hmm. because we have that.
Yeah.
So I don't want to rely on somebody else. I believe in direct revelation, right? Mm-hmm. Yes, I learn a lot. Mm-hmm. I had a meeting with somebody last week who is a wonderful psychic medium, and you know, she's here, right here in Ferndale. She's amazing. Mm-hmm. And she said something, and I said, well, I don't call myself a psychic. And she goes, what?
Yeah.
You don't call yourself a medium?
Yeah.
Everything you do is mediumship.
Yeah.
I said, no. Everything I do is direct revelation that is delivered, and people have a choice of what they're going to do with it.
Yeah.
That's my hang up.
Yeah.
I've seen too many times where people were given information that the medium or the psychic perceives, mm-hmm. it's her perception.
She's still
it's
human.
Not your perception. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there is that chance mm-hmm. for the influence of whatever she is mm-hmm. experiencing to affect you. Mm-hmm. And
well, it's like almost like the same thing. Like, if we don't let organized religion because people don't think for themselves and they're just listening to what they're being told to do, right?
Yes.
Or society or whatever. It all can become noise if not moved through the appropriate filters,
right?
Does that resonate with me? Does that not? Does that feel right for me? Does that not? Right? All of those things that we still have to go, is this ultimately in alignment with myself? So if anything, you become reliant on anything outside of yourself. It's not
Right.
It's not good, right? So you see that as like a similar experience, that it's relying on an outside source. Not impartial. Right. Like, it's not, there, nobody can be totally clear from their own experience.
And their ego.
And their ego. That's what I mean.
And their own ego,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, I have seen some amazing work by psychics and healers.
Yeah.
You know, I've been to friends' events who I've seen how the room is healed.
Yeah.
You know, how everybody in the room has healed from an experience, and that information that they received at that time was valid for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think there's a really fine line, though, between when our ego comes into play. So even when I see clients, so when I see somebody, let's say for a soul retrieval, I always say that this is what I'm seeing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it makes sense to you.
Right.
And most people will say, yes, this totally makes sense to me, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they'll ask me to expand upon it. And I will say, I'm not really going to do that.
Yeah.
Because this isn't about my opinion.
Right.
This is what I saw, and I can give you some more information, but I'm not going to give you my opinion. Like, even when people have asked me to do like a spirit animal reading, and I'll say, we'll get into journey. This is the animal that comes up. And they'll say, well, what do you think about that? And I'm like, it doesn't matter what I think about it. What do you think about it?
Yeah.
You know, what do you think about it? What does that owl mean to you? What does its appearance mean to you?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Oh, it's so hard in the age of Google, though. I mean, I've done some of this journeying myself, and I admittedly was like, what does that mean to me? And I like journaled a little bit, and then I'm like, what does it mean to Google? You know?
Right.
But I literally went on and was like, okay, what does a grizzly bear mean? Because I saw that, and I saw the eagle, and I saw the bunny, and you know, like, what do these mean? I wanted to, it's like, I think that for me, the experience sometimes of people who, like you or other friends that I have that are what they would call, what the world would call mediums, even though none of you that I really validate and
would
trust
call
would call that. And I also know from my own intuition that I trust the integrity and intention of the people that I allow into that sphere for me.
And that is so huge. And most people don't.
Right.
Right. Most people don't listen to that.
Yeah.
They go to people willy-nilly.
Yeah.
And then instead of really saying, okay, is this the real deal? Well, guess what? Our friends are the real deal.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
They're the real deal.
Yep.
Because, yes, we listen to our intuition.
Right.
And maybe we Google them.
No, yeah, kidding, that too, right?
Maybe we Google them. But
for me, like, it's, like, in this path of, like, really, I mean, I have lots of stories of intuition for myself, and I know my life has been deeply guided by that. But sometimes with these bigger things, it's, like, I need to know that I know that I can also mindfuck myself and convince myself of anything. And so sometimes I need, like, a checks and balance. So I go to people that have integrity that I trust to go, like, what's going on here? Like, what am I, like, I need some help. Like, I'm not quite yet to the point where I completely trust that I'm hearing from my guides or that I'm getting the right information, because it's still very new to me in this really deep way, at least, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that, like, all things within reason, but really checking against that. If you have a funny feeling, trust the funny feeling.
Trust that funny feeling.
If it didn't resonate, it didn't resonate. Let it go. Move on, right?
Right.
And trust that, like, any wisdom coming from any guru, master, teacher, whatever, is still filtered through the human experience. We are all still embodied as humans.
Right.
You cannot, I don't care who you are, you cannot completely release yourself from your ego. Maybe Jesus did, and maybe, you know, Buddha.
Maybe the Dalai Lama. That's
and maybe
what I
the
think.
Dalai
like,
Lama.
Maybe the Dalai Lama, but I'm even not, I don't
I'm
know.
Not even sure he's
I
that.
Don't know.
Me neither. And I think, that, so that kind of leads us into one of these conversations that I really think is so fascinating, right? Because in the yogic world, so often people are like, oh, I joke about this podcast I listened to that this woman was like, my kundalini completed, right?
Oh, yeah, God. Did we talk? We
yes.
talked about this.
Off. Yeah, off
Offline,
air.
Yeah.
Yes.
Good. Let's do it.
Let's talk about it. And I was like, bull effing shit. I'm sorry. I'm going to put an E on this one as explicit because I clearly feel like swearing today. But I was like, come on. And I'm listening to these two people on this podcast. And I don't like this podcast most of the time, but I'm thinking, this is nonsense. And you've totally made yourself completely unrelatable to the rest of the world. And you've put yourself on this spiritual fucking hierarchy.
Right.
So let's talk about that. Because one, you don't want to be, like, you love to play in this other realm, reality. Right? But it doesn't mean that you want to place so much there that you don't acknowledge that you are a spiritual being or soul having this human experience, right? You're supposed to still have the human experience. That's why you're here.
Right.
Right? And so how do you reconcile all of this? What are your, just go.
Well, I'm with you. Like, yeah. I think that people use that as, it's bullshit.
It's bullshit.
It's total bullshit.
Yeah.
Maybe you did have a Kundalini awakening. Maybe you changed.
Yeah.
If you shifted that as a crutch, even with our guides, okay? Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how many people have said, well, my guide said this, and I want to say, well, that's bullshit, because we're human.
Right.
So your guides are telling you to do something that is really not kind and compassionate and loving to your human community, that is not thinking about the people that you're involved with, then that's bullshit.
Yeah.
Right? It's to me, it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
We have our own sense of personal awakening,
mm-hmm.
and who knows what the hell it is, but right. who are we to say that, oh my God, I have this Kundalini awakening, or I have this external guidance that's telling me to do a thing or to live a certain way, and now I can do and say whatever the hell I want.
Right. It's like permission to just be an asshole somehow because it's coming from your guides. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
It's the same reason that that's what the leaders of churches that were oppressing people or whomever, right? All of the terrible things
the
that
Crusades,
have happened.
Right?
Exactly. All of these things.
Hitler, right?
Exactly.
They have
God
this.
Told me to do this. Bullshit.
Allah.
Right.
Right? No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I don't agree with that. I think it's bullshit.
I do too. And I think that, like, I just think that it's, like, number one, spiritual hierarchy is a whole conversation. But, like, this idea that somehow, because her Kundalini completed, she is now more evolved. And maybe she is more evolved. I do think there's evolution of the soul. But what I'm saying is, like, that I don't think the point is to become so spiritual that you lose your humanness.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I think that the reason we embody is to have the human experience and play as spiritual beings in the human experience. And so this idea of enlightenment, and maybe that's just because it's not for me in this life, I guess. I could just be totally delusional in all of this. But I just, there's something that doesn't sit right with me on all of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and really, who's to say what enlightenment is?
Right.
We're coming from something that we've heard, that we've learned.
A paradigm, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So who's to say what that
even
place
looks
of
like.
Enlightenment looks like? 5D reality. Maybe this is enlightenment.
Yeah.
Maybe this is it. Who knows?
Yeah.
You know, in yoga teacher training at Citizens, mm-hmm. I remember Casey saying, learn, unlearn, relearn. And
yeah.
I feel like that's where we're at. Yesterday, I was listening to a talk with Matt Kahn, mm-hmm. who wrote the book. I have to look up here. Everything is here for you or something like that.
Yeah.
Everything is here for you. And I can't see it. It's up there somewhere.
Everything is here to help you.
Everything is here to help you, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm listening to that yesterday, and mm-hmm. he brought up karma.
Yeah.
Which, to me, is, you know, in line with enlightenment. It's all these spiritual words. And he said, what if we looked at karma differently?
Mm-hmm.
What if instead of saying karma is a bitch,
yeah.
he didn't say that, I'm saying that.
Yeah.
But what if instead of saying karma is a bitch,
mm-hmm.
we said karma is something that's grateful,
mm-hmm.
you know, that we can look at with love and compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And what if that's just part of our human experience here to live more loving and more compassionately, and that's our enlightenment.
Yeah.
You know, we have no idea really what we came in. I remember somebody asking me one time what I thought it was going to look like when I crossed over the other side, and it was a religious person
mm-hmm.
who believed in Jesus
yeah.
so wholeheartedly. And I said, well, first of all, I don't think he's going to say anything about my sins. I said,
yes.
Instead, he's going to open his arms and say, welcome here, baby. What took you so long?
Yeah.
Right? I said,
yeah.
I just don't see that that's what's going to happen on the other side. I think that we are projecting that here.
Yeah. Because we can't separate ourselves from what we've been taught our whole lives. Like,
right.
There's so much that's in our culture and in the ways we were raised and our family dynamics and that was like programmed in us so early. I mean, I think I love that, learn, unlearn, relearn, because I think so much of it is deconditioning, right?
It is deconditioning. I mean, for thousands and thousands and thousands of years,
mm-hmm.
The patriarchy
mm-hmm.
has been herding the cattle. I said that yesterday in front of my mom. She goes, who told you that? did somebody tell you that it's like cattle herding? I'm like, no, I just said it. Somebody probably said it, just reminding me of that, right?
But oh, yes. I use that analogy right, all the time. Right? Yes.
We're just herding the cattle. And so every time a guru or somebody says or our government says that this, or a spiritual teacher says this is the way something can go, to me, it's a way to suppress.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, I don't know, what does that bear mean to you?
Right.
Right? Whether you Google it or not, what's your first impression?
Right. And I totally believe that, like, I think organized religion is dying slowly and it's having a little bit of a, you know, backlash in that. But I think it's shifting. I think the gurus, people are deciding slowly, and this 5D shift or whatever you want to call it, that the guru is within, right? Mm-hmm. And like that we're starting to remember that nobody outside of us is above us or in any way has any more information ultimately, which is your point about the psychic, right?
Yeah.
That nobody really has any more information than you, and you don't need somebody. We all need teachers and mentors and helpers and all of that, but not in the way that, like, they hold the truth and they get to give it to you.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Yeah.
And again, inside their truth, that's their truth. That's right. Their ego. That's what they saw. That's what they sensed. Mm-hmm. If you smelled licorice, you sure as hell wouldn't think of your Aunt Marion, right?
No.
You know what I mean?
Like, No.
You just wouldn't. But if I'm smelling licorice, I'm going to say, okay. If I'm in a session with you and I'm smelling licorice, I'm going to think to myself, okay, Aunt Marion's here. Well, what does licorice mean to you, Anne?
Right.
Instead of saying, well, my Aunt Marion said.
Right.
Right. What does licorice mean to you?
Right.
It's our own perception. Mm-hmm. And perception changes every day.
Yeah.
Our perception of ourselves changes every day. So everything is always on that roller coaster. Mm-hmm. Always on that roller coaster and changing.
And I think that's, to me, that's like, that's what this is about, right? I really believe we're at Earth School, and mm-hmm. that I'm reading a great book called Energy Codes by Dr. Sue Mortner. And she says very similarly to what Matt Kahn was saying. And she's like, what if every single thing that happened to you is to support your own growth and evolution? And I'm like, that's exactly what I've been saying for a while. I'm like, don't you love when you find people that are like saying
what
concisely and what I've been saying that for so long. Like, what if all this terrible shit, you know, we lost a friend a couple years ago, really tragically. And I just keep thinking, like, you know, this all has to, like, what if all of these terrible things are because we chose in some way, chose is always a weird word because we have to put language on it. But like, what if your soul knew that these things were coming in order to help your personal evolution, right?
Right.
And Dr. Sue gives this analogy. I think I might have talked about it in yesterday's podcast that I haven't put out yet either, but that like you're at this bus stop and that you're like, okay, but with your soul group and you're all ready to embody, or at different times you've got different buses picking you up and you're like, they're like, hey, what are you going, you know, where are you going? What are you going for? And she was like, what if you said, like, you're like, well, I'm going in for a level 10 forgiveness, but here's the thing, I need somebody who's going to offer me this opportunity. Like, who's willing?
Right.
To offer me this opportunity to do something really, really difficult that I'm going to have to really, like, forgive the unforgivable, you know? And everybody's like, no way, man, no way. And then finally somebody says, with love, like, I'll step into that role for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
What if all of this karma or whatever else, all of the shit happening to you is supposed to help your growth on this Earth School? And that's it. And that's what enlightenment is. It's just stepping into it.
So kind of in line with that, mm-hmm. I've had conversations with people the last couple of weeks. A lot of intuitives and psychics and spiritual people think mm-hmm. that when you cross over to the other side, you go through this life review.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. I've been living my life review for the last 3 years. Every shitty thing that I think I have done, every regret that I think I have has been presented to me. Some things that I didn't even know, and I look at it and I'm like, what, I did that? I didn't do that.
In journeying?
In reality,
in
like
Earth reality.
All of a sudden it just comes up. And so like I don't have a choice.
Yeah.
This stuff is coming to me.
Yeah.
And
it's like heal now.
It's heal. It mm-hmm. is heal now. And a lot of it I know is around the birth of my grandson, right? Mm-hmm. So I know that I'm here to heal the future.
Yep.
I've told my son that.
Yep.
I've said, we're going to heal the future.
Mm-hmm.
We're changing this shit.
Yep.
So everything that I've done mm-hmm. has been presented to me.
Mm-hmm.
And learn, unlearn, relearn. Let go of the regret. Start looking at it mm-hmm. as okay, why? Mm-hmm. So what is that here showing me now?
Yeah.
Right? What it's showing me now is that my soul doesn't give a shit what I did. Mm-hmm. It still loves me. And it's still going to, it's going to go with me wherever I go. Yeah. It's who I am. Right? Yeah, it's the essence of who I am.
Right.
And that I have to learn to forgive myself. Mm-hmm. And I have to learn, and right, I also was listening again to Matt Kahn's podcast.
Yeah.
And this deer crosses in front of me, and I parked out in front of my mom's new house. And so what that said to me was, be gentle, mm-hmm. right? Because deers are gentle, but yeah. they're very sure-footed in yeah. that we got this. You know, yeah. we're going to do it with gentility and grace and style and love right. and love, 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 love. And yet we have been looking at it as it sucks.
Yes.
In our human side,
yes.
it does suck.
Yes.
It totally sucks.
Yep, and it's painful.
And yeah. it's very painful. Yeah. I'm the queen of bliss, though. I see mm-hmm. that in all of this suckiness,
yeah.
oh, yeah, there is some joy in all of that, right?
Yeah, and it's there's a shadow totally. And light. It's the shadow and light that keeps coming up, you know, acknowledging both sides of it. And I think that it's like, it's for me, this. I think that's the hard part, this pain and suffering piece. I dance so often between the human experience of pain and suffering and the spiritual experience that's like, okay, what's the lesson here? What's to learn? Like, where can I grow? Like, what's in this? Like, really, like, the curious part of myself that's like, this is no big deal. This is just play. Like, what? Why would I do this to myself, so to speak? Like, what am I trying to grow through here, you know? And mm-hmm. that, to me, feels like the loving, compassionate, light side of the dark side, right? Mm-hmm. And because sometimes when I hear all bliss, I'm like, bullshit to that too. And I know you don't believe that, which is why we right. can say that, right? But like, it's not all bliss. Like, I can't bliss through some of the stuff that's really hard because I'm still human, and right. I want to be human. You
right,
know what I mean?
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
One of my favorite scenes from television is Steve, and I talked about this yesterday too. I've talked about this many times.
Yeah.
Steve Martin in the movie Parenthood.
Yeah.
And he has his grandmother living with him, and he loses his job. He quits his job. He's very neurotic.
Yeah.
And his wife is just this very pleasant, mild, I don't know if you've ever seen it, but yeah, it's really cute.
Yeah.
But in one of the scenes, he's going off and he's very neurotic, and his grandma's in the kitchen, and she comes walking in and she says something like, when I was 19, your grandfather took me on the roller coaster. And she said, it would go up and it would go down. And she goes, it was so amazing to me that something could be so scary, so fearful, so joyful, so thrilling all at the same time. And yeah. she said, I wanted to do it again and again and again. She said, some people, they just wanted to go on the merry-go-round. What's that? And to me, that is life, right? Because sometimes it's thrilling and exciting and joyful and full of love. And sometimes it is full of deep sorrow and deep suffering. And and when we go through that deep sorrow and suffering, if we can hold on to, not if, when we hold on to the memory of that joyful ride,
right.
we know that we're going to get back there so that this stuff is momentary. And I think of all of the things that I learned with meditation and shamanic journeying, it's momentary. This is momentary.
Sure.
This is going to go up on a podcast somewhere.
Yep.
This moment, it's done.
Yep.
Right? It's all a moment.
Yeah.
So when I am deeply in some shit, I've had a crazy 6 months, right?
Yeah.
So when I am deeply in some shit, I know that there's also going to be some extreme joy and some extreme love. And sometimes on the shittiest of days, when I'm deeply in that place, I can look across and there's a deer in my front yard. Who gets a deer in Pleasant Ridge? Nobody, right? There's a deer in my front yard. A deer yesterday at my mom's, right?
So
there's something. There's an angel or a feather that lands on my porch that reminds me of an angel wing, or somebody drops sunflowers off on my porch. Who knows? But there's, in the depths of that sorrow, there is some joy.
Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, it's been comforting. Like, one thing that really has resonated with me is this notion that that souls, like us, when we're at source or whatever you want to call the collective consciousness, that we look forward to embodying because we get to experience the fullness of life, right? And that we're here to experience the fullness. And maybe when you're a newer soul, that fullness doesn't have to be quite so full, right? Because it's all new, right? And then as you evolve, like, that fullness gets bigger and broader, and the highs are higher and the lows are lower, and, like, you know, there's just this full experience, but that, like, this is this, that we look forward to humanness, right? And mm-hmm. that, like, to me, sometimes I have to really, like, anchor myself in that reminder that not only, like, I chose to be here now, and that, like, this has some, there's something bigger. And like, that is what, like, the temporary nature definitely helps me, but also reminding that, like, there's some bigger energetic thing happening here, and that there's some growth, there's something really beautiful, brutal and beautiful coming mm-hmm, out of this. Mm-hmm. And those are, that's what helps me carry through with those pieces. That just reminded me of a question to ask you. So, like, what do you feel about this idea of purpose or creating a meaningful life, right? Because we've talked about this on the podcast that I did with you. But I'd love to kind of hash that out even a little bit more, since we have as much time as we want. Not really, but sort of. But, like, what do you feel about this idea of purpose? What does it look like? And what does, like, we've talked about really, like, this gamut, right? That it can run from really simple, meaningful things to all the way to very directed purpose. So how do you, what do you think about that? What's your, like, what do you think the soul does? Like, what's your personal take on all of that?
I think as humans, we put too much weight mm-hmm. on our purpose, and mm-hmm. that it distracts us from living in the present moment. Mm-hmm. That when we are constantly searching for what our purpose is, because somebody has told us that we have to have a purpose, mm-hmm. we get distracted from, what if my purpose is simply to enjoy the flowers because in some past lifetime I was in a jail cell?
Yeah.
You know, so that is the keep it simple version of what I think about purpose. Mm-hmm. And I think that as we go through life and we are exposed to certain things, unless we know in our gut from day one,
mm-hmm. which some people do.
Some people do. Mm-hmm. And good for, that's amazing.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
And they don't sway from it, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That our purpose changes based upon our free will and the free will of the people that we are involved with in our reality.
Mm-hmm.
I know that my purpose is here to serve and to love. I remember saying to my second husband that if I died before him, I just wanted him to put love on my tombstone. That's it. Mm-hmm. I just want to love, whatever that looks like. And sometimes I love hard, and sometimes I love, like, get the fuck away from me because I love myself more.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Whatever that looks like. And I think that as we change, so as you know, right now, I have two ends of the spectrum, right? Yeah. I have an 87-year-old mom who I'm helping, and I have a 2-year-old grandson, and I have a business.
Right.
And so
a couple businesses.
Yeah, a couple businesses, right? So now that is shifting. But ultimately, my purpose is to serve, and I am serving my family first. And
because this is the season you're in, and this part of your experience of life.
Right. And that is a great way to look at it, as a season, okay? Yeah. In, let's talk about seasons, right?
Yeah.
In spring, it's the season of planting those seeds.
Yeah.
Those flowers, watching the flowers grow, right? Yeah. Each season has a different effect, a different purpose, and yet that's in this climate.
Yeah.
If you're in
Hawaii.
Right. Yes. It's always, but yeah. I was thinking of like cold. Greenland.
Yeah. Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Iceland. If you're in Iceland where it's always cold, then that is not the same thing.
Right.
That doesn't make sense to them unless they have a greenhouse. So it's really about the reality that you're in mm-hmm. as well. It's a whole combination of things.
Yeah.
And it has to do with your own belief. So again, it goes back to my saying, mm-hmm. I don't know, what do you believe about purpose?
Yeah.
Do you believe that you have one single purpose in this life?
Yeah. I started to think about it sometimes more as like themes, you know? And like sometimes your theme is simply to learn to really understand forgiveness, or really learn self-love, or really, I don't know, you know, for me, I think it's somewhere around teaching. I've always been in roles of being a teacher of sorts. And as a little kid, I always felt connected to that. But certainly there's always been inherent spirituality. And I don't even know that I know. All I know is I, for me, purpose is the next right thing. Right. Mm-hmm. And just keep staying clear and open and intuitively guided so that I can feel what the next right thing is when it comes, when it's presented to me, and that I listen to that, right? But for those of us who are, as you said, information junkies or whatever, right, that's hard because there's like 20 next right things.
Oh, yeah. Like, oh, and that's free will. Like fun. That's, oh, that looks good.
And the next right thing is still subjective to your own personal experience and your own will and your own choice, and there's probably three next right things. Which one do you want to choose in this moment? Mm-hmm. What was I thinking about all of that? I think that, like, you know, I think that it's really themes, and that I don't know. I think you're absolutely right. To me, it's, I think purpose is at least a little more expansive than the idea to me of goals, because I just, so many worlds people are living in corporate America, right? My right. students were telling me about key performance indicators, and I'm like, oh, that makes me want to throw up in my mouth. Can you think of anything less satisfying than a key performance indicator? You know, and to me, it's like, how do you create a satisfying, contented, meaningful life? That might be simply daily choices to be forgiving, or to choose love of self, or to choose love of the world, or to choose whatever that theme is for you, you know? But on the other hand, some people's is a very directed purpose, but it's like everything is this broad, colorful spectrum of possibility, you know?
And choices.
And choice.
And right. choices. And yeah. I mean, I'm with you. I don't necessarily love, I love and I hate the word choice, right?
Yeah.
I love and I don't like the word choice. Let yeah. me rephrase that. It is a choice. Mm-hmm. I love how you put it, mm-hmm. that it's the next right thing.
Yeah.
What does that look like?
From my vantage point today.
Yeah.
And all of the knowledge I have today. And that's it.
Right.
Yeah.
The knowledge and the experience, yeah. right? So mm-hmm. people give,
yeah, I guess knowledge don't give to as me much.
It's all inclusive, yeah. right? But your experience, mm-hmm. I can't see you doing anything less than teaching in some capacity.
Right.
You're a phenomenal teacher.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So maybe that's part of your purpose, right?
It is totally just part of it. But like, just as this podcast is part of what I believe to be my purpose at this moment.
Right.
Right. At this right. season, right?
Right. So my mom, when I started my podcast, and our studio is at Specs Howard, and my mom reminded me that when I was young, mm-hmm. I wanted to go to Specs Howard, but I got a full-time job right away, a very good corporate-paying job right mm-hmm. away, and I kind of gave that up. So whether it's purpose or desires, right, then she also reminded me that I wanted to teach, and that I wanted to be like Charlie's Angels. I wanted to be a detective. You know, I wanted to go to police school.
Mm-hmm.
And in the work that I am now, mm-hmm. I feel like, in a way, mm-hmm. I'm living that purpose.
Yeah.
Because a lot of my work is kind of detective work and inquiry mm-hmm. and seeing things. Okay, yeah. What does that mean, right?
Yeah. That's so funny. I love drawing all these parallels. I at one point was sure I was going to go into forensic science
yeah.
and study like all the clues, because we're innately curious, right?
Yeah, and archaeology. Like I totally want to go on a dig.
Yeah,
I totally want to do that.
I want to do everything. I'm
yeah.
pretty sure. I know. It's so funny. And I love looking at that and going like, who was I and how did I get here? And I do think that there's always information that if you're looking for what's going to satisfy your soul, look back at your childhood and ask your parents or people who knew you when you were little what the things, did you love to explore? Were you curious? Did you love
right.
to help people? Like, when I interviewed Megan Gunnell, it was like, she was like, I was always organizing people in my backyard and, like, creating things. And somebody else told me, like, they had a whole day camp that they would, like, put together for the neighborhood kids, right? And now they're in logistics. I'm like, okay, well, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, we did the Jerry Lewis muscular dystrophy parties in our backyard. Yeah, always giving back. That's what my mom said. She goes, you would organize these events around giving back to humanity.
Oh my God, that's
hilarious.
That's hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
We did a lot of home videos. I think there were some, and I was trying to entertain. I think there's definitely some of that for me too. Like if I really like put all those pieces together.
Well, and so when you look at all of that,
yeah.
you can look at the aspects of where you're incorporating
mm-hmm.
that dream just in a different way, because we're programmed to think that it's going to look a particular way, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I'm programmed to think that I was supposed to go on this archaeological dig in Egypt. Well, you know what? I go on archaeological digs
mm-hmm.
every time I'm with a client.
Yeah.
Right? I'm in their world thinking, oh, my God, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So when you can look at what your passion was, and instead of saying, what do you want to do, how am I doing that? So how am I doing that? Like for me, when my mom pointed that out to me about Specs Howard, and then I started looking at what I do, even shamanically, what I do in a media format, it's all of this that I'm just showing up in a way that is working for my soul and myself.
Yeah.
Not the way that society said I needed to do it.
Yeah, and that's it, right? That's just it. It's showing up for the, your soul in the way that you feel most deeply called to in this moment.
Yeah.
And then the next.
Ultimately, when we can't, and we didn't learn this when we were young. Yeah. I think we're learning this now, but ultimately when we can look at it from a place of love and compassion and holding a container for each other's soul instead of how we were stuck in that dogma in a not so open spiritual way or even our lives. Like I raised my kids so differently than my parents. And I know you do too with Rosie. Yeah, it's so different. But we show up in the way that we dreamt as a child just differently.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's it. It's because you only had the, I mean, unless you were lucky enough to have, you know, a different sort of upbringing than most of us did. We only saw our life through the lens that we were handed, right? The pair of glasses that we were given. And then I think that's why so much of this, like, to me, even the title of this podcast is Becoming, but in some ways it's more like unraveling, right? And deconditioning.
I love that.
Yeah. Maybe we should change the name. Maybe.
Ask. No, listen. Ask your soul. What do you want it to be?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's why we ended up with this one. But it really is, to me, it was becoming your truest, rawest, most authentic self, right? And so that is a process of deconditioning, but you still are becoming. It was really from The Velveteen Rabbit, becoming real. When all like when all of the bullshit's like worn off and like your fuzz and your eyeballs are falling out and you've kind of worn off all of the conditioning of who the world wanted you to be and having that perfect look and being a put together bunny, right? That you wear all of that off and you become real. And that to me was really what like the heart of it. I was connected as a little kid with that. Like I got that, you know? So I think that's really what I hope people do. They can wear off like all of that stuff telling you how to be and how to live and how to be acceptable and how to be worthy and listen to your soul.
Yeah, the Andean shamans call it hucha. I love that word. Hucha. I mean, I call it shit too, but right, let's just get rid of that shit. But I love it. It's hucha. It's like, let's just get rid of all that hucha. Let it go to be who you are. I think it's beautiful. And it's all preconditioned, you know. We were led to live in this false persona, and the persona of who we are is to just be who we are without all the baggage and the bullshit, and every day we unravel more of what that bullshit looked like and replace it with something that works where we're at now.
It's, I just, I'm listening to you in this whole conversation. It was making me think so much about, even as a little kid, my one thing that I always remember doing when I would leave my body was that I would ask myself, is this real? Am I real? Am I supposed to be here now? And I literally remember pinching myself back into my body. And I didn't realize like that becoming real is the Velveteen Rabbit book and all of that, like the real word, you know? So interesting. What is, you know, what is real?
What is 5D reality?
Yeah.
What is real? To me, real is what you make it. It's really what you make it. And the other thing I really want to say is when we are told to look at our childhood and see what we want to do is to really remember what you are doing.
Yeah.
You know, what are you doing now instead of trying to embrace something that seems unrealistic. What unreal, realistic, right? What are you doing right now?
Yeah, to me, it's always when you look at your childhood, it isn't the thing. Like, it isn't that like you wanted to be an astronaut, but what does that represent? Is it then exploration or curiosity? Or, you know, if you wanted to be a nurse, and maybe there's something in healing or helping or service there. Like, to me, it isn't the thing, the label. It's what's underneath that that guides you back to yourself. And if you go, okay, I always wanted to be healing and helping, and now I'm in corporate America, yeah, maybe there's these ways that I'm healing and helping in this small way, but maybe I'm unhappy because I'm not really honoring that there's other ways.
Right.
Maybe it is, maybe it isn't, right? Some people look at that and they go, oh, I realize that I am doing exactly what I intended to do. I'm just doing it with this different sort of overlay, right? And some people go, oh my God, I am not at all, I'm doing this for so-and-so or for the world or for, because my dad told me I should be a doctor or whatever that is.
Right.
And I always wanted to do these things. I love to create and I'm not creating, you know? So it's like just checking yourself against that deep alignment. And I just think as children, we're not as programmed. And so there's a deeper sense to your own knowing and it showed up in the things you were attracted to. And so just like digging underneath that archaeology, digging underneath that for the information, like the soul of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, we're told to play and not play, and be loud, but don't be loud,
yeah.
Right? Don't really be who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get to an adult, and we're like, well, who the fuck am I?
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
There are those that know, mm-hmm. and bless them.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank God we have tools to help us figure out
mm-hmm.
who we are right now.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to be this tomorrow. You know, we were talking about perception, and I was reading an article about how everybody perceives you differently.
Yes.
And that you even perceive yourself differently. Like, you don't perceive yourself the way maybe your parents perceive you, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's really about perception
mm-hmm.
and being in this moment, being open to what you might be tomorrow
mm-hmm.
or who you might be tomorrow or
mm-hmm.
how you're going to play tomorrow. But just play in the playground nice, right? You don't have to be an asshole.
Be nice, right? Play nice. Yeah. I read a quote last week that was something to the effect of exactly what you're saying, which is that everybody has already determined who you are anyway. They've already decided who you are. They've labeled you. They've put you into these boxes. Why not just be exactly who the fuck you are? Because everybody else has already decided.
Exactly.
Right?
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Just be who you are.
Because it doesn't matter.
They're already going to see you a different way than you see yourself.
Yeah.
Well, really, how many times do you say to yourself, oh, I didn't even know that about that person?
Yep.
Right? Because you had a preconceived notion of what they were all about. And all of a sudden they say something and you're like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
That is not who you are in my mind.
Right.
Yeah.
Or that if you've seen somebody that you've only heard their voice and then you see their actual face and you think, oh, that is not at all what I pictured that person like. Because we have this perceived notion and input from other different areas that makes us look at something in a particular way as opposed to just being open to it, which, you know, obviously I'm not perfect at that either.
Well, I hope nobody's perfect at any of it, right?
Right.
Right. So lasting thoughts on, you know, if people feel curious about exploring shamanic journeying or just shifting their awareness around this, like what do you suggest people do to step one?
I say be open. Obviously, I say visit my website.
Yes,
right?
Of course.
Visit my website, Soul Practices. But Google it. Google is like my best friend.
Yeah.
And if you Google anything, make sure you check their credits, you know, five stars, whatever it is. And a lot of it is about being brave. It's about really being brave and courageous to explore something that is unknown and can at times seem very scary. I think that people have a perception that that is really scary. And in my world, it's the farthest thing from it. I have never, and I know people do, but it's not in my reality.
Yeah.
I have never run across anything that has scared me. There are some things maybe I didn't necessarily want to see when I'm doing soul work, and yet I know that I'm gonna power through it. It's not fearful. So be brave, be courageous, be curious. Let go of that preconceived idea of how something should look. And be aware, right? Just really allow yourself to be curious and courageous. Courage is a great word.
Yeah, I agree. I always think it's the brave people who are willing to listen to the quiet voice within and follow its whims, you know? Because everyone I speak with on this podcast can look back at the moments where they did something that seemed so out there,
yeah,
risky,
different, weird, whatever. And they can go, I just had this like feeling that I needed to look into that, or I needed to study that different thing, or I needed to step towards that thing, even though it was not at all what the world or what I was taught, or it seemed so out there. Right. And that shiny ball led to the next shiny ball that allowed them to find their way to a life that feels more content and purposeful or meaningful or connected or loving or whatever that is for you.
Yeah. I mean, like you, I my family thought I was crazy. They still think I'm crazy. Okay. But when I'll give the example of when I did the journey and I connected with my great, great grandmother, mm-hmm. I was telling my mom about the ancestry piece of it, mm-hmm. not the journey piece of it. And my mom said, well, how did you get there? And mm-hmm. I said, well, do you want to know the truth?
Yeah.
And so I told her, and this was my dad's side of the family that I connected with. And I'm driving and my mom's like, wow, can you connect with my great-great-grandmother? I have some questions. And I'm like, hell yes, but not now because I'm driving. Right,
right.
But you don't know
how
you're going to be received. That's another thing. Like, we have fear of judgment.
Yeah.
So when you do your thing and your light shines, who cares?
Yeah, totally.
Right? Just do your thing.
Totally.
And
I have two things about that. Number one, I think we chip away at people's dogma and paradigms, right? So our willingness to share our weirdness with the world starts to challenge, it puts little dents in the armor of people's beliefs and what they feel safe inside.
Yes.
And so I feel like I did an interview and the person apologized after, and she's like, I think I might have upset the apple cart a little bit. And I was like, I literally think my job is to poke the bear.
Right.
Like, that's part of my job, is to poke the bear and just see what happens. Like, how strongly held is that belief? Are you willing to open? Are you willing to let a little light in a different place? Like, right? So that's like the one piece, I think, like have these weird conversations.
Absolutely.
And be the weird person at dinner parties talking about shit that other people don't talk about, right?
You know? Right. It's so funny because I had a client yesterday and she's leaving and she said, you know what I love about you? She goes, you accept my weirdness. And she goes, no, you don't think my weirdness is even weird.
No.
I'm like, no, bring it on. I want to hear more, right?
Yeah.
And you don't know. That person next to you, they might be dying for somebody to talk to.
And say something real to them.
Right. Yeah. Like, oh my God, where have you been my whole life, right?
Yeah.
Totally want to hear those kind of things. Yeah. And it's really beautiful when you can have the effect like I had with my mom.
Yeah.
Right? I remember when you had a class at my studio, mm-hmm. and I invited a family member who's very Catholic, and she goes, oh, that's all just voodoo. And I'm like, yep, like frankincense mm-hmm. is voodoo.
Right.
And she was like, oh, yeah, I never looked at it like that.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just play.
And help people maybe make small shifts in singular conversations, you know, and just invite people into these conversations, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's the thing, is if this resonates with you, be willing to just see, because like you said, you have no idea who is open to it. And I think our jobs, at least part of my job personally, I can speak for myself, is to help people come out of the spiritual shame closet, right? Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. like come on out. I'm like trying to just be like, come on, I know you think that like you have these weird thoughts, like come on out wherever you are, come on, you know?
Right. And you do it on so many levels,
right?
You do it on so many levels, not just spirituality,
right?
So you are like this shining example of, say, hey, try it. Because when you live into who you really are, when you just be you, the world is completely different.
Yes.
And life is completely different.
Yes.
Very cool.
Thank you. You're welcome. Any lasting thoughts?
I like just being who you are, right? Yeah. And listening to your own soul self, because your path to direct revelation is the path that's going to be the most guiding for you in life.
Yeah.
You know, you had said something earlier about talking to people and asking some questions, and I kept hearing the word process. Mm-hmm. We have to process with people.
Yeah.
Right? But even when you process that information, sit back and ask yourself, okay, is this me?
Yeah.
Is this really me?
Yeah.
Or is this based upon their input?
Yeah.
You know, balance out what really makes the most sense to you,
mm-hmm.
and where you're going to go next.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your time. Be brave. I love that. Thank you for your time. Thanks for doing this. I'm sure we'll find more things to talk about next time.
I'm sure we will. And I love you. Thank you so much.
I love you too. Mwah. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for listening all the way to the end. If this touched you, if you inspired you, go connect with Terry. All the ways you can connect. I would love to hear your feedback and thoughts and anything else that you want to talk about moving forward in the future, conversations you want to have with Terry or others like her. Again, I appreciate you listening. Thank you for following along this far. And until next time, have a great day.